He's just so quiet.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Good to be back. We just popped in. Wasn't looking to preach. That's how it happens, amen. I was, you know, kind of thinking on the way over here, you know, that I'd, and that might be that Pastor Hain would be doing Sunday school and I'd get to hear him preach. Boy, did I get a surprise. Amen, a good one. Amen, it's always good. But, and really just listen to your pastor. Amen. He has an outlook on it that, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. I'm glad for the day that God put my path and John Asquith's path together. I mean, we didn't cross paths, we joined paths. Because, you know, cross people, that's all. That's a mess. Amen. But I'm glad I'm on the same road. Amen. And he always sharpens my plow. Amen. And my sword. Amen. And I thank God for him. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to start reading there in verse 21. Just for time's sake, won't read all the story that we're leading up to here. But story of Elijah, I know you're familiar with it, probably heard many messages out of it. But all right, 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered, not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under and call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call in the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called in the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Let's stop right there and pray. Father, we love you and thank you so much for the word of God and the privilege to be here. Lord, bless now, I pray, with your presence and power in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah's about to do something here to wake up the nation of Israel, to turn the eyes of the nation of Israel from confusion, turn their minds from, he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? And one of the things about being halted is they're confused. Now, you can go back into the history of why they're confused. But if you look at this thing, we're looking really at a picture of America today, of the world today. People are confused. We're dealing with confused people everywhere. They turn on the TV. You know, and they watch the TV preacher. And then they go and sit in a church where a man gets up and preaches and they hear what he's got to say. And every now and then they'll, you know, wander into a Bible-believing church and hear a Bible-believing preacher. And you know what? They don't know what to believe. They're totally confused. We're dealing with a confused crowd today. Amen? And so, here Elijah comes in and says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Listen, man, if that God you're worshiping, Baal there, if he's God, then, you know, let him be God. But if it's God, then follow God. And so coming on the way from back from Florida, on the way north, just last week it was, and go through a rest stop, and here's these people, man, wearing shirts, you know, they're Satanists, got Satan symbols on it and all that. Now, what a sad, sad thing.
That's right.
And I was asking him, I said, listen, man, I said, you worship Satan, huh?
Yeah, man.
I said, there's one problem with that. It's really sad. What's that? My God created your God. Your God can't do anything without my God's permission. I said, where are you going to go with that? I said, man, and really, if you read the last chapter, he loses.
That's right.
So, why would you worship a loser? Why would you go? I mean, that's my wife. I don't like to lose. Amen. There's some games I will not play because I don't like to lose. Amen. Right? Amen. Listen, my God's a winner. Why on earth would I want to be a loser? Amen. They're totally confused. They don't know which ends up. So Elijah hears call on of God, and he's sent in to straighten him out, basically. Give him a little eye-opening thing here. And he's going to do some things here to, prove God when the crowd's confused. Amen? Right. Prove God when the crowd's confused. Now, I'm going to tell you something. To prove God when the crowd's confused, it may be rough on you. You may be called upon to do some things, to suffer some things, amen, that is suffering. It's tough. It's hard on this flesh sometimes. Amen. You may be called upon to live in lower standards financially. You may be called upon, amen, to suffer some things physically. You may be called upon to, amen. It goes on and on. The point of it is this. Who calls you?
Oh.
See, if God calls you to that, then God's going to enable you to get through that. That little thing maybe I saw in a guy's desk, the grace of God will never leave you where it can't keep you. Amen.
Good.
And so, amen, God is going to be there. Never forget, man, God's still in the equation. Don't take God out of the equation. So Elijah's here, and what he's about to do is prove God, amen, to this confused crowd, Here you've got, what's his name? Ahab. You've got Ahab and Jezebel, right? You know the story. Right? Ahab got to, longing for a vineyard that wasn't his. Amen. That belonged to a faithful servant of God. And so, what did he do? He went whining, sniffling, crying to his little wife, Jezebel. Man, God help you if you named your daughter Jezebel. New Guinea, they're all upside down. They think Judas was the hero. So, There's girls named Jezebel and all kinds of other names like that. Oh, boy, you don't understand your Bible. Amen. But here's little Jezebel. He goes to crying. Well, I want to get Naboth's vineyard, but I can't. He won't sell it. He tells me it's all been in the family so long, he can't let go of it. Oh, boy, what am I going to do? Now, what'd she do? I'll get it for you. And she got it for him. And she got it by killing Naboth, the man that owned it. I mean, they're wicked, wicked, wicked people. And they're the king, amen, and his wife, right? So here they are, they're in the leadership of the country, if you will, right? And people kind of follow the leader a lot. Amen, don't believe me, wait till Mr. Trump's out and put in another Democrat. You'll find a lot of people following the nut. I'm sorry, the Democrat. Amen, people do that. You say, you follow Mr. Trump? No, I follow God.
That's right.
Amen. We're not supposed to follow either one of them. We're supposed to follow God. And so, but here they are in these days here in the Bible. You've got them, and they're following this king, his wicked wife, off into oblivion, basically. And Ahab has got God mad at him. Now listen, getting God is mad at you is one thing. But when you get God's people mad at God's people, I mean, God's getting upset with Israel here. You know what he thinks? He's thinking, Israel ought to know better. Mm-hmm. Hello, church?
Yeah.
You and I ought to know better.
Right.
And so, God sends Elijah, amen, in to fix the thing up, straighten it out. Okay, now, here's the thing I want you to notice. Look in chapter 17, verse 1, I believe it is. Let's see. Yeah, that's it. Chapter 17, verse 1. All right, and it says, and Elijah the Tishbite. Okay, who are his parents? Huh? Doesn't say, does it? It just says Elijah the Tishbite. It doesn't say nothing about his mom and dad. But wait a minute, Elijah, I mean, he's quite a prophet of God here. He's quite a servant of God here. But we don't know anything about his parents, do we? He's just known as Elijah the Tishbite. Amen. Nothing more. But when you look at the character that's in Elijah, there had to be, he had to have some parents that had some scars. His parents had to sacrifice to get him, amen, to the point where he followed God. And there's some things that had to go on in his life. And, you know, folks here raising children, it's going to take a great sacrifice for you to get your children to serve God in a confused generation. Yeah, amen. Sure. To get them to follow God and not the crowd.
That's right.
Amen. Follow God, because when they follow God, they'll come out right. No matter what. And it's going to take some great sacrifice. Amen. Many folks, amen, they labor extra and scrape money here and scrape money there for private education. And if they don't do that, at least they do some other things with them. They labor themselves, giving up of themselves time so they can spend time with their children, so they can put some character traits in their children and teach their children properly. Amen. Things they're not going to get in the public school system. I mean, yeah, public school is one thing, but they're not going to teach your children character. They're not allowed to anymore. So what do? You're going to have to sacrifice.
That's right.
Sacrifice you. Give some time to those children so those children get some character.
Right.
And so they get some God.
That's good.
And so there had to be something going on here with all that, because Elijah comes out and he does some things that are above and beyond, you might say. You know, like, here he is. Now think, he's a Jew, right? Well, in this day when black birds are unclean, he gets fed by some.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine accepting food from a black bird when that's an unclean animal? He did. And then, you know, God sends him to a widow woman. You know, it's hard enough to receive an offering. As a preacher, it's humbling. But to a widow woman that doesn't have anything? I mean, here's Elijah going to this widow woman, you know. And God chooses to take care of him through this widow woman. I mean, God chooses to take care of him in some humbling ways. But he comes on the scene, and one thing you notice about him, he's not afraid. He's got some. As Brother Green would say, sand in his pants and grit in his craw. Amen. He doesn't back down from the, 450 prophets of Baal. And a little later, you got 400 prophets of the Grove. So you got 850 false prophets altogether, and Elijah doesn't back down. He does some things here that help him to change the mind. Or to solidify in the confused mind the right way. The way of God. What he does, he proves God when the crowd's confused. So, to again there, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Halt can be several things. I mean, it can be anything from hesitating because you stand in doubt, to just stopping, to being, the halt. Jesus helped the halt, you've got a bad leg, you kind of favor that leg, you're kind of halting that leg. Here, it's just simply this. They're hesitating because they stand in doubt. They doubt. They doubt who God is. Listen, if you doubt who God is, you're going to be confused every time. If you're confused in here right now, you're not confused because God made you confused. He's not the author of confusion. He put a book down there, amen, and made it plain for you and I. Preacher hit the verse earlier. This is the way, walk ye in. He made it plain. This is the way. There's no other way. You know, that takes out all the confusion. That takes out all the doubt. Hey, man, if that's the way, just do it. And when you do it God's way, it comes out right, doesn't it? Right? So here he is. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? They're doubting. They're confused. You know, it's kind of the opposite of what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I mean, Paul wasn't doubting. He wasn't wondering. And what did he say about 1 Timothy 2:8? You've heard this verse here so many times. Amen. I know you have. I will therefore the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. Amen. Amen. God doesn't want us confused, right? But this crowd we're dealing with is confused. And they need somebody, amen, that can get through the fog and bring them out of the fog to a sound mind. To where they're not confused. To where they're not wondering which way to go. And where they're not halt, stop somewhere. Wait, I don't know. Amen? So, you know, they've been following a wicked king. Man, it's a mess. They're in bad shape. And Elijah shows up. But what did he do? What did he do to help these people? First of all, he stood alone. He was a soldier. And he stood alone. If we're going to help people, amen, we're going to have to learn to stand alone. Because, you know, most of the time, folks come in here, I mean, you know, they're pretty sound in mind. Most of the folks you got, right? I know you got people come in, they're confused, I understand. Yeah. Some of you still live in this state of confusion. I can tell by looking at your face, right?
Yeah,
you know, I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am, the state of confusion. No, but see, I'm talking about that crowd out there. And the crowd, they'll come in. And even some in here. If you're confused, the job, amen, in this church, and the job of your preacher, and he does a great job, and Brother Hain, amen, and those that, amen, and our leaders, amen, to do what? To lead you in the right direction. And to live a life that speaks in the right direction. The preacher hit on that a little bit too. You know, but here's Elijah, he's standing alone. Where's Obadiah at this time? You know, he went to Obadiah back in chapter 16 or 17 there, before this. In fact, I think right here in 18, he said to him, he said, go tell Ahab that Elijah's here. Where did Obadiah go? I mean, he's not here. He's not here for this little thing right here. And what did Elijah say? I'm alone. He stood alone. You're going to have to stand alone. Amen? You're going to have to stand alone and tell the truth. You're going to have to stand alone and get the job done. You. Well, but God, can't you get the preacher to help you? Well, how many times would we like to do that? You know what? After 40 years, there's still sometimes I'd like to get my preacher to help me. But kind of hard to do. And I'm kind of in this thing where God put me, and God put me and sent me out to Las Vegas for the last 5 years. Before that, it was New Guinea and Africa and Cuba. I mean, you know, I couldn't take my preacher with me everywhere. And I couldn't even call my preacher. I mean, what am I going to do? You better have a connection to God and learn to stand alone with God and learn to walk with God and know what pleases God. Amen. So you can get a hold of somebody else and show them what pleases God. And this is the life God will bless if you'll just follow me. What did Paul say? Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Amen. Be a soldier, amen, that stands alone. He stood alone against 850 prophets. Amen. Going to be lonely at times when you stand for God. Amen. You may be the only one in your family. I was that for a long time. You may be the only one. I was the first tailor in my clan ever to be born again that I know of. Amen. You know the story about Pastor Hain and Kenny Bell. Amen. Kenny Bell started witnessing to me when I was 16 years old, working for him on the farm. But it wasn't until I was 24 years old that I got saved. And when I got saved, it started a revival in our clan that has now touched, is working now on the sixth generation.
Amen.
It's amazing what God can do, right? But you may have to stand alone. I remember there were times when my dad thought I was crazy because I wouldn't do things with him that we used to do. And I didn't make a big, you know, big, I just stood. I'm not doing that. Sorry. Why aren't you doing that? Because that would dishonor my God. And I don't want to do that. He's been too good to me. And man, God and Dad started watching that. Eventually, God started wondering. He said, no, there's something different about him. He's together. You know, his mind works right. He's all there, you know what I mean? And there's just something about him that goes beyond. And he didn't know what it was till he got saved. Amen. Standing alone. Not only did he stand alone, but he was a servant who served authentically. Amen. He stood as a servant. If we're going to help folks get straightened out when they're confused, we're going to have to be real. Amen. I like this, how this fit, man, because the preacher just said it. Amen. His message, he said, I'm going to be out there with him and here. You know what my prayer is? Lord, help me be what they think I am. Amen. And I'm still praying. It's been almost 40 years. Lord, help me be what they think I am. Amen. People don't see what you are at home. They don't see what you, and it's not just at home. Here's my real deal, but real I'm just talking about this. It's not just at home. You know, the real test of it all is when you're alone.
That's right.
Exactly. When it's just you. What do you do then? How do you control and conduct yourself when you're alone? I mean, can you control you when you're alone?
Come on.
Can you tell you no, it's just you and God? Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know? And we are who we are when we're alone. And I'll be honest with you, after 40 years of being saved, I still don't like who I am when I'm alone.
Yes, sir.
I'm still begging God, please, you've got to take that out of me. Because it's just in me. And I don't want it there. Amen. Why? Because when I get down before my God, I want to get down before my God and have the sweetest, purest fellowship any two people could ever have.
Amen.
I don't want it to be a mix-up and God looking down going, well, I would fellowship with you, but, you know, I want him to be able to fellowship with me. And listen, he's a gentleman. He will not force himself.
Right.
And that's why it's so, and he's very cautious. And he's very easy to offend. I say easy. I understand he's God and I understand he's gracious. But today we get that idea that his grace kind of just lets a lot of stuff slide. We need to quit thinking that way. I know the blood of Jesus Christ is still there. And some folks think it's easier to ask forgiveness and didn't ask permission. I've heard preachers in the pulpit say that. Why should we have to, if we could ask forgiveness, what are we afraid of? God saying no? Why should we have to worry? Amen. If things are right, that relationship is right, we know, amen, everything's going to be all right. We don't have to ask forgiveness. We already asked permission. And if God said no, we just don't do it. Amen. Kind of quiet.
Uh-oh.
But you know what he was? Elijah was real. Amen. I'm not saying this to make you think I'm living on some plane that you can't live to. I'm a man of God. Food. I know me. Like Brother Grady said, just like you. Amen. The struggles you're facing with you, take a look around. The rest of us are, we're in the same boat here. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. I'm just giving you a mark that I'm trying to make. I want to be there, so when I want to fellowship with God or need fellowship with God, amen, I don't have to, 4 hours to get things straightened out, or 4 days, or 4 years, or, amen? A servant who serves authentically. He was real to those people. What he was in private is what he was in public. What he was, amen, at that point in life, what he was with the family, he was in front of them. He was real before God, amen? He told people where he failed. He told people where he fell short. He made sure, amen, they knew. Amen. He wasn't some, man, I'm in higher pain than you because I'm a prophet. Amen. Paul told the church at Corinth that, he said, I beseech you, brother, be followers of me But he said this, he said in 1 Corinthians 10:33, he said, I'm not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. So what we're after, amen, is their profit. Their profit. Trying to help them profit from it. Now I'll tell you something, you can learn a lot just from watching your pastor. And I'm not trying to puff him up. I don't know if you could puff him up. I'm trying to tell you something. That man right there knows more about bringing, and he said it again in the message, taking those lesser and making them more productive. You know, I forgot how you worded that. But able to take people that are whose lives are a wreck and get them straightened out. Get them where they're walking in the right direction. Get them where they're in a little victory. Get them where they, amen, are productive for God. Amen. Preachers can't even do that today. Amen. But a servant, served authentically. He was real. One thing I know about your preacher, he's real. And then, you know, after that, what was he? He was a supplicator who showcased the Almighty. He was a prayer warrior. From verse 24 to 35, he does all that stuff with the fire to what? Prove to them that God is God. Right? He proves to them. Listen, your God, Israel, he's the God. He is the God. He is the one. He is the way. He's proven to them, amen, that God they're trying to worship is the false God. That's what folks need to know. They need to see a stark difference in our God and the world's God. They need to know that our God's real. Amen. How are they going to know that if we're not real? See? So after he gets done with all that, proving all that, what's he do? He prays. Verse 36, chapter 18. It came to pass the time of the evening offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. There it is, brother, there, right there. Do what you do at his word.
That's right.
When you do what you do at his word, then God works in what? In response to his word. Not because you're somebody, not because we're anybody, but because God is God, and God's going to prove his word. Right? And so what you do? And he's praying, right? And he's praying in accordance with what they just saw. God show them. And God showed them. Verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. What happened, man? He prayed, amen, amen, in a way that showcased God. That put God on display. God, look, I want y'all to know that when that fire came down, it's not me, it's not the prophet, it's God. It's the God of the prophet. It's your God. He's the same God who will do that for you. That's what he wanted to see.
Amen.
So he prayed in a way that showcased God. And then when the people saw that Elijah's prayers were answered, verse 39, and they said, first of all, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. No more confusion. And now, why? Because somebody showed him who God really was. Somebody not only acted in a way that proved God, they prayed in a way that proved God. Amen. I'll never forget watching that movie, Sheffy. You ever seen that? Sheffy, you know, that old riding preacher back in the horse riding days. And he went to that moonshiner, remember that? And he's standing there, that moonshiner. Moonshine just laughing at him, you know, giving him all kinds of what for. And old Sheffy starts praying, and he prays. He says, God, I pray you just send a mighty oak tree. Just send a mighty oak tree to fall on this still and wipe it out. And Moonshine started laughing. I'm almost uncontrollably. Preacher, man, there ain't an oak tree in a million miles in place. A little while later that evening, about 150 feet up on the cliff, put an old oak tree, and the lightning struck the oak tree and landed right slap on that still.
Yeah.
And that moonshiner got saved. Amen. I mean, he showcased God. And God did. Amen. God answered. And so what you do, you know, Elijah does, he attempts a great thing for God and he expects a great thing from God. How great is your God? Amen. Listen, man. You know what I want my kids to know? You know what I want my grandkids? Hey, I even got great grandkids now. You know what I want them to know? I want them to know that my God is the God. I want to know this, that out of all the stuff going on in this confused world, there is but one God. His name is not Allah. Amen. His name is not Buddha. His name is not Confucius. His name is not Muhammad. Amen. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, among others. Amen. I want to know that he is the God. And he is the creator. And he is the one with the power to snuff them out. He is the one to bless them with power, with blessing, with amen, all kinds of neat stuff. Amen. And just walk with him. Follow him. And give them peace beyond measure. So the people stepped out of their confusion. You know what happened after they stepped out of their confusion? What had been going on for 3 years? A drought. No rain. And these folks got so confused. Why? Because they're following a false God who can't make it rain if he tries. And what happens? They get right, man. They step out of their confusion into the light of God and start following the light. And what happens? God sends rain. Need a little rain? Step out of your confusion. Amen.
Amen.
Father, best I know how good you told me to do. I pray it's been a blessing and a help. Thank you for it, God. The privilege to be here in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.